I hesitate to even say this because it hurts to say out loud, but the story that sort of came to mind to me today as we were reading the passage happened to me about 35 years ago, and that stings a little bit to say out loud, but there it is. I was in college, and when I was in college, I was a resident advisor in the dorms. That means that I was in charge of one floor in the dormitory that I was in, and I was part scout leader, part police officer, part cruise director, part counselor. It's a weird job. And I was in charge of the 13th floor. I have a long-standing record of very lucky 13s in my life. I don't know where this whole unlucky 13 thing comes from. I've always had great luck. My son was even born on Friday the 13th, and he's turned out pretty well. So I enjoyed my time on the 13th floor, but our resident advisor was, among other things, an Eagle Scout. And he believed in the power of camping. He believed camping was one of the great ways that human beings could gather together, learn about themselves and each other. And so one of the things that we did as staff development on a regular basis was we went camping. The first time we ever went camping as a staff should have probably been the last time. I will say that the fellow who was in charge, his name was Dave Rader. Dave was a very determined fellow, because after our first outing, I could have understood if he decided not to do it again, because we got kicked out of the campsite. We'd gone, and this was in West Virginia, to a very nice campground that was on an island in the north branch of the Potomac River over in the Eastern Panhandle. And you kind of had to go across this little bridge to get out to the island. And it was this long, thin, narrow island. And at the very, very front of the island is where the check-in was. It's where the campfire materials were. It was, you know, all of that. And they had us, probably quite wisely, on the very far end of that island. Just 16 men in their late teens, early 20s camping out. One of my good friends was the fellow who was the resident advisor on the 14th floor, somebody that I had known since I was a little kid. He's actually a pastor up in Defiance, Ohio right now. So if you're ever in Defiance, Ohio on a Sunday and you say, gee, I wish I could go worship somewhere, well, just look up Pastor Brobson. He does a good job. And Dave and I were RAs, and for one reason or another, we'd gotten all the way to the campsite, and we had the tents up and all that fun stuff, when Dave Rader looked at us and said, who got the firewood on our way in? We all just kind of looked at each other. I don't know. He's like, well, we just have enough here just to get started, and that's all the more we have. So somebody's got to take, there was a wheelbarrow there for whatever reason, somebody's got to take the wheelbarrow to the other end of the island and get the wood. So Dave and I said, well, okay, we'll do it. So we hiked to the very, very far tip of this island. I say a hike, it was a good 15, 20 minute walk. So we come to the end, and we load all the firewood up, and we turn around. And as we turn around from the far tip of the island where we know our camp is, we suddenly see a 40 foot tall column of fire go poof, up in the air, and it just lights the whole valley up. And a beautiful valley, you know, you can see for miles around to the light of that 40-foot column of fire. And you audibly heard a poof sound. Dave and I look at each other, and we think, well, we should probably go back. So we wheel this wood back another 15 minutes. We get back to camp. And there's the resident advisor from the sixth floor, a fellow by the name of Brad. Brad no longer has eyebrows. Brad was put in charge of making the fire. Brad was not any good at making fire. So he saw some camp fuel, some camp stove fuel, and he said, you know what? I bet if I just stand back and I throw the fuel at this little tiny fire really hard, make sure, and he did not realize at the time, what he did is he technically aerosolized the fuel. And he threw what was a 7-Eleven Big Gulp cup full of the fuel at this fire. which resulted in a 40-foot-tall tower of flame. And I'd like to say this is not the only time I've ever been with a group of people that got kicked out of a campfire or a campground for setting something on fire or blowing something up. It is not. The other story is actually a Boy Scouting story. I won't tell it for fear that there might be a copycat incident that involves another explosion. But, needless to say, 10 minutes later, the fellow who runs the camp, who was very concerned by that 40-foot-tall burst of flame, comes in and asks us to leave. We had apparently broken some rule somewhere. To be fair, though, it was a really nice campfire. I mean, it was burning really good by the time we got back. But I will never forget the fact that for that, like, maybe a little less than a full second, where we were in West Virginia was just so far out off of the beaten path, where there was no street lights, no city lights, no background light pollution. It was just absolute pitch black dark. For that moment, while that campfire was blazing, you could see almost the entirety of this valley, it felt like. There was just sort of the light of day for a few moments, and then of course it was gone. That's the thing, if you've ever been somewhere, and if you're not going out camping, you don't realize just how much light we all live around all the time. Ambient light that's a part of our day to day. If you go somewhere really far away, somewhere really isolated, like the backwoods of West Virginia, or where my father lives in Wyoming, you will see dark that is absolutely pitch black dark. And it doesn't take very much light to light up that darkness. It certainly did not take a 40-foot-tall campfire to light up the darkness of that particular campsite, but it did really an effective job of it. See, it doesn't take much light in this world at all when we're surrounded by darkness to change the darkness into light. And this is what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples on this mount. The Sermon on the Mount is, of course, where this passage comes from. And Jesus is trying to tell his disciples that we live in a dark world. We live in a world that does not have enough love, does not have enough grace, does not have enough mercy, does not have enough kindness. All of the things that we as the kingdom of God are called out to live in this world, it is desperately short in. In the Old Testament passage today, we hear from God that he's complaining that he doesn't care that his people have taken upon these difficult tasks like prayer and fasting if they spend their whole time in prayer and fasting being cruel to each other because, well, they're hangry. I mean, I don't know if you've come across the phrase hangry. I love it. It means that you're hungry and it's made you angry that you're so hungry. Hangry, it's a great phrase. That's basically what he's describing. He says, you treat each other so badly, you wind up in fist fights by the end of the day. This is not acceptable. This is not the sort of fast I want. See, we are to be, in this world of darkness, we are to be a source of light. And as Christians, we get the wrong idea. I think we all think that you got to pour better part of a half gallon of Coleman fuel on a fire to be enough light to make a difference in this world. We think that we have to do grand gestures, do great things, make enormous differences. The simple fact of the matter is, a single flashlight will do in the dark. A single light will change the world we live in considerably. You don't have to be a 40-foot-tall column of fire. You can just do what you can do. Show the kindness you can show. Offer the love you can offer. Share the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness you can share. We can do all those things, not because we are ourselves light, but because we ourselves have received the light, because we have already been loved. We've already been shown grace. We've already been shown mercy and forgiveness. We share those things not because they're internally part of us, but because they've already been given to us in abundance that we can share with others. One of the great messages that Jesus wants us to hear from the Sermon on the Mount is, first off, how gracious God is, how merciful God chooses to be, how much love God has for us. But also, how absolutely important it is that we be a light in this world that others can see by. That by being a light in the darkness, others know where to walk and how to walk. Others find their way out of being lost and alone. And that this world is made light by the presence of Christ within us. So as we gather together today, I say to each and every one of you, go out in the world, be a light, change the landscape around you, light it up, so that others who are lost and alone in the dark, not knowing where to go, might truly find their way to where they need to be. And yeah, it might be really, really impressive to do that great, big, grand gesture, to do that awesome, amazing thing. It's also a good way to lose your eyebrows. Sometimes it's enough to just do the small things where you are with the people God has put you with. Amen.